So glad you guys are here. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Pave the Way. Brent and I are going to be talking this morning about hope. And hope is something that we have had to, had to cling to a couple times in this business world, not only in entrepreneurship, but also in just being friends with people, being a father, maybe playing sports growing up. Hope, it fits in with all kinds of scenarios. So we want to talk about kind of our journey with that. And, you know, the definition of hope that we have is to cherish a desire with anticipation. To cherish a desire with anticipation. So what does that mean? That means we're anticipating that desire in us, either grabbing it, achieving it, whatever it is, we're hoping in an outcome. We're hoping in a desire and we're anticipating it. So it could be a desire, a belief, a wish, you know, anything that you consider possible that you're anticipating making or happening for you, you need hope, or that is hope. It could be as simple as, you know, when I was in high school, Hiram High School looks a little different nowadays, but Hiram High School back in the day, we would go try out for the baseball team and there'd be like 40 dudes show up and you just hoped you made it. I did. I mean, my skill set was pretty C plus probably, but, you know, you try out and then you hope you make it, or you go to high school and you hope you graduate, or you go to college and you hope you make it through to get the job you're wanting or whatever. So hope just falls into so many different categories. Do you have a specific story that you have had to show or had to use hope? Because this is a deep one for us too, because not only is hope something that you anticipate and desire, but also Jesus Christ is hope. Jesus Christ to us is hope, and it's hoping for that perfect world that he has set up for us, and it's also hoping for eternity. So there's a lot of different viewpoints that we have on hope. And yeah, you got any stories or something specific to share?
Well, I think my whole life has kind of been that, because I'm a dreamer, as we've talked about on here before. Sometimes my dreams are way too big, and that's a good thing. But, you know, we hope for better days. We hope for life to get better and better and better. And, you know, I think back to sports days, that's real. You know, as you're growing up, you're always hoping to, you know, make this team or to do this thing or to do that. But then when you get in the real world, for me as a kid who kind of started out, you know, lower middle class, and then I didn't really pay attention in school and do the things that I should. So when I quit college, it was kind of like almost no hope. And that's a bad place to be when you lose your hope. But then I had to, you know, over time, after working crappy jobs, in a sense, my hope started shifting toward like, man, I want to get in sales. Like, I hope I can make it in sales, because for me, I was always just Googling jobs without a degree. And back in 2011, most jobs required a degree, like if you wanted to make substantial money. So sales was that one thing that you could get into. So I would say that I really had a high hope when I went to that first sales job, and I was like so fired up. And then, you know what? It didn't turn out to be what I thought it was. And that's how life happens a lot.
Absolutely.
Is that you have this high hope of how something's going to go, and then it goes completely opposite. So I think what you said about having our hope in Jesus Christ allows us to transition that hope, because, man, so many times in life, I think I'm going to like this, and then I end up hating it. So your hope shifts in a sense.
I love that you talked about losing hope. Because losing hope is something that I'm not sitting here and saying this happens to me once a month. But when you lose hope, you know, before I was saved and everything, before I really dove into the Christianity, when I lost hope, what I would do is I would just recalibrate my desires. So, you know, you lose hope and you're like, you know, I would hope I'd make this amount of sales at State Farm or whatever I was doing that month, and you don't, and then you lose hope. So you just recalibrate what you're anticipating. Not that you say like, oh, I was trying to hit 100,000. I didn't do it. So now I'm going to lower it to 40,000 to try to hope for that. But more so like, okay, I was hoping for that, but I was doing this. So how do I reorganize that hope around what I'm doing instead? And so, but now with like what you said, you know, it's like I never have to lose hope anymore.
Correct.
Because Jesus Christ and Christianity is that one constant thing. And that's why I tell people, like, that's why it works. Like, it doesn't change. Like, I don't know what the book was like in Aramaic or whatever, the Hebrew times, but like, since we've been alive, I mean, you can just go read the same thing over and over. It doesn't change and it's constant. So,
Well, and the thing is, it's like, in my opinion, people have said all the time, but if you have hope in this world only, you're going to be miserable, because this world is going to let you down time and time again.
Something.
So for me, it's like, you got to have a higher hope of like, man, one day we're not going to have these worries. One day we're not going to have all this. But I think that should also encourage us. It's not, it should challenge us to not lose hope, because life is going to throw you curveballs. Life is going to give you things like I said earlier, you're going to think it's going to be this way and then it's going to be this way. But when you have that heavenly perspective, it's easier to deal with things when they don't go as planned, you know, yeah. Because God's working through you in those moments. So for me, my hope has shifted so many times in life. You know, we now have high hopes for our businesses. I mean, we talk about it often, like, man, we dream of a day when we have 100 employees that are coming to our Bible study, and, you know, we have a sales center with a gym and a sauna and all this stuff. And that's hope. You know, we hope for that, and it may not ever come, but I'm going to keep striving and keep hoping for that day to come. Because I think a lot of times when you lose hope, you almost kill your dreams.
You do, man. And hope is directly tied. I think hope is directly tied to like how confident you are. Because there's times like you can relate this to dating women. You can relate this to going to school. You can relate this to being at work. But like once I lose hope, I start to suck.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't have any hope in this. My desire, it's what the definition was, a desire with anticipation, looking at your desire. So now that I don't anticipate it, it's like my hope's gone and I don't care no more, and I suck or whatever. I lose confidence.
Yes.
And that doesn't matter if you're talking about in your marriage or just, you know, who you're dating, or if you're talking about like the hope you have in earning a paycheck or making sales, whatever you're doing, or running a business, trying to run a business. If right now you're sitting at a job that you hate and you're thinking about starting a business, what would you say to yourself if you came up and said, man, I have no hope in this new business I want to start, but I really hate my job? Like,
you probably shouldn't start.
You're not going to do it. It's going to be too hard.
Exactly.
It's going to be way too hard. So hope brings out confidence and trust, not only in yourself and what you're trying to achieve, but and also in God, because you can see Him moving in these things. So hope has also allowed us to start this business. Hope allows us to be disciplined. And then another big topic for me that that you have to hope for, or that I've had to hope for in my times, is forgiveness. Hope that someone forgives you, or hope that you can forgive someone. You know, but without the hope part, going back to it, without the hope, like, I'm not anticipating being forgiven. I'm not anticipating handing out forgiveness. So the hope is everything. That it's the start. It's almost like the frame of your mindset. It's like, if I can start with my mind telling me that there's hope in this, yeah, my thoughts, strategy, and action behind it will be better. If I start with there's no hope, what is your action going to be?
Bad.
Bad or nothing?
Nothing.
Bad or dismal?
Yeah, and I think, too, the point that you made about losing hope and you losing your confidence, that's a big point there, because I think a lot of times we may not even realize it, but our internal psyche is off because we have no hope. And we lose that confidence. And man, if you don't have confidence in anything, in a relationship, in your business, in your job, you might as well go home. You know, if you don't have that confidence, if you don't have hope, if, man, you're just going to be miserable, not only to yourself, but the people around you aren't going to be, like, it's unattractive to have no hope. So I think it's so critical that we have to almost trick your mind. You almost have to trick your subconscious mind into having hope sometimes, because there is days like, don't get us wrong, man. There's days where mentally you're beat up and you're beat down, and you have to rise above that, and you have to challenge those thoughts, and you have to also know when those negative side effects are coming into play, and you have to fight it. You have to be aware of that. So I think it's critical to sometimes, man, it's like getting away to Florida. That was probably good for your hope.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to get away, and because sometimes when you're in the middle of it and when you're grinding, it's easier to be like, man, I haven't had hope in a week. I haven't had hope in 2 weeks. And sometimes you just need to get away and think about the goodness. And I think gratitude is a good way to like keep your hope.
And it's the question, we talk about the questions we ask ourselves a lot, but there's a different mindset in hope. And because going back to confidence, like when you wake up and say, I know this is possible and I can do this, versus I think I can do this
it
may be possible. Yeah. It's like that mindset. I'm not talking about, you know, walking around and puffing your chest out in confidence. I'm just talking about how you're thinking about your goals and your desires and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yes.
When you say this is possible and I can do this, that is hope, and that is going to get you confidence, and that is going to make the action that you want to happen. You're going to start doing it better than, oh man. Cause like he said, you know, there's times in life where I lose hope for 2 days. You know what I mean? It might be hope that I get more sleep because our kid cries. It might be hope that we make more money because our business goes through a problem. It might be hope in this, but There are phases where for 2 days you sit there and you're like, I don't know what I'm really doing. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, it happens way less frequently now, but this is a 4-year journey we've been on. And at the beginning, man, there's some struggles at the beginning that we could sit here and talk about for 3 hours because you just don't know. You just don't know that you don't have hope. You just don't know that you need to be paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but I like have to redevelop my hope constantly. Kind of like you just mentioned last week, shout out Rob Johnson. He did great on the podcast. I went to Florida for a week, and when I did that, it redeveloped so much hope in me because I could just take the time in silence that I don't normally get here to just, instead of saying like, oh, what's happening? Why? To say like, here's what I'm writing down. Here's this next quarter. Here's what I'm doing. And now I have extreme confidence in it. And my hope's like way up here.
Up through the roof.
It's way up here.
It's like Brad going on that sabbatical for 7 weeks. I can feel a new energy in Brad, our pastor. After 7 weeks sabbatical, he comes back and it's like his hope is restored. And I think it's good sometimes to pause because burnout's real.
Oh, it's
burnout is a real thing. And I think a lot of times when you're burned out, you've lost your hope in a sense. And it's like, why am I even doing this? Because I think a lot of times when you're in there pulling the weeds out, you can be like, man, why am I even doing this in life, in my business, and this and that? And it's so easy to lose hope in today's world, especially the world that we live in, where we're looking on Instagram and we're seeing everybody's highlight reels. We're seeing everybody's sales centers. We're seeing everybody's 100 employees. But you're not seeing the 10 years that they put in, the almost bankrupts, all this stuff, the negative stuff that they had to fight through their hope. And I think that's why a lot of people fail, is because their hope isn't rooted in something that's solid. Their hope is rooted in this world. And man, like we said earlier, if your hope is rooted in this world, eventually you're going to be miserable because this world is just going to deal you a bad hand every now and then. And if your hope is only in this world, man, you're not going to get through it. A lot of our business downfalls have been stuff completely out of our control.
Like, I write it down all the time.
You know, a lot of the things that happened in our business world that gave us, you know, sleepless nights and all these things and mental blocks and all this stuff were things that we couldn't control even if we wanted to.
Or people.
And that's just life. Yeah, people that we control. That is life in a nutshell, is that you're going to be dealt cards that you don't get to deal. Like, you just have to play the cards that you're dealt. And sometimes life deals you a bad hand. And if you have no hope, that's where you get in trouble, when you get dealt a bad hand.
And hope is a practice. Like, when I was younger, for example, you know, I would think about the goals I have, or, you know, going back to the definition too, it's anticipating the desire. It's anticipating it. Well, when you lose hope and you lose that desire, you know, I would go back to, you know, thinking about, what could I do to change? What could I do to this? What could I do to that? But at the end of the day, it's some of the stuff that we can't control. And that happens literally still to this week. Like, I get home and do a daily review at like nighttime, and I'll write down, like, it'll be like, what made today harder? That's one of my questions every day I ask myself. What made today harder? Bro, 9 times out of 10, it's something I had nothing to do with, but it made my day harder.
Yes.
And it might be a person, it might be a phone call, it might be this, it might be that. But 9 times out of 10, the thing that made my day harder was something I can't control. And going back to that too, that is why, luckily for me, I don't know if Brent can speak his side, but I learned that failure was a good thing at a young age. At a young age, I learned that the only way to get better is to fail, because, like, without failure, you're just going to be a blank slate. And, you know, part of that desire for me was, I watched, like, what my family had and how we were hanging out, and I was like, man, I would rather fail 200 times than live the life we're living right now. So I learned at a young age that failure was a good thing, but you have to keep developing hope. Once you fail, you have to keep saying, like, yes, I failed, but that and that desire I'm anticipating, like, it's still possible.
That's right.
It's still good. It's still there.
It can't affect your hope.
No, but that's a mental practice. That's what I'm trying to get at. I stalled for a minute, but, like, that takes mental fortitude, and that takes practice, because I've been practicing that for, like, 8 years, but I'm still not a pro. Like, it's still not where I just, like, have hope 365 every day, 24-7, and I'm just, like, a shining,
that would be, like, sick.
I wish, dude. Maybe when we go to heaven.
Yeah, we will.
But for sure. Let me ask you, this is kind of a deep question, but is the hope more important than the work? Because you got, like, for me, it's before the action. It's before the work, the hope. But is it more important?
I think there's an argument to say that it is, because I think if you don't have hope, your work is probably not going to be as good as it needs to be, or it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to put your all into your work if you have no hope. Because I've been in those jobs. I'm sure you have. Like, I've been in jobs where there wasn't much hope and my work suffered because of it, you know? Like,
absolutely.
When, you know, when you're, whatever that job may be, you know, for me, funeral home, then the city of Dallas and the sewer department, I really didn't have much hope at that point. So your job suffers a little bit when you're in a position where there is no hope, where you're like, man, this is just like a job. Like, I don't even really like what I do. And I've been there. And sometimes you just have to deal with that. Sometimes you just have to deal with the bad jobs. But your hope, like, even when I was in the sewer department, I had a hope of a better job. So many times people don't have any hope and they just, man, this is the best job I'm ever going to get. And they stay there for 45 years and retire. And that's okay. But like for me, I had hope beyond that sewer department. I have hope beyond those bad jobs. And it allowed me to get to the next level. But I will say that my work did suffer. Like, I wasn't the best sewer department employee I could have been because I didn't have any hope. Like, I didn't really want to go on a call when it came in. So, like, I think it does suffer if you're not careful.
And your desired outcome, like, we're not trying to say what you were making, but I'm sure that what, like, you're anticipating your paycheck and you're not like, heck yeah, man, I'm pumped. I've changed out 79 septic, whatever you're doing. I've yeah. done this thing and now I'm
playing in poop all week and yeah, I got $40 to show for it.
I have hope in that, yeah. So, for me, that question, you know, I think about, like, everything that we have, like, our partnership, our businesses, our, you know, just everything that I have, like the house I live in, how all of that just starts with hope and then trusting God, like, which we've already correlated, like that is hope. But what I'm saying is, like, everything started with the hope. So I don't know. But if you're a salesman, you can't just hope to get some leads. You got to call somebody. But if you go to the job and you have no hope that people are, like, going to talk to you or whatever, then you're right. Like, you will start suffering. But it's just a great question. Like, I don't know which one's better, but hope for me has been the start to everything.
You need it. You got to have hope in everything that you're doing. And I think it also goes back to, like, I ask guys in our youth all the time when they're, because, man, when you're high school age and when you're, you know, trying to figure out life and girls and all this stuff, your hope is so volatile at that point because you could have the best day ever and then the girl you like talk to your buddy and not you. And then boom, you're in the gutter for 3 weeks, you know? So like your hope is so volatile at an early age. And what I always tell the guys that I'm working with and mentoring that are younger is like, where does your joy come from? And your joy comes from the Lord, in my opinion. Like, we should live in a state to where nothing this world deals us affects our joy. And I think you can tie joy to hope, really. So like, where does your joy come from? And if your joy comes from the Lord, that helps me. That helps me every day to remind myself that my joy comes through the Lord only, and this world has nothing for me, really.
Yeah.
That's a good perspective for me to have, is that, like, because then I show up happier to my job.
Yeah.
Then I show up in a better spirit than I would otherwise if I had no hope. So you have to ask yourself, where does your joy come from? Where does your hope come from? And it comes from the Lord. And that should put us in a position every day to where you're in a better mood. Because how many times do you go into a scenario where you're not mentally right? I know I've done it, where I'm not mentally where I need to be. And then that phone call, that conversation, whatever, doesn't go the way that you wanted it to because you wasn't in the right perspective when you went into the conversation. So I think a lot of times we can take our baggage into jobs. We can take our baggage into relationships because we're not happy. We don't have hope. And then we treat somebody like we really don't want to treat them, but we're mentally in a bad spot.
Absolutely. And going back to the hope in Jesus, like, for us, yes, Jesus is our joy. But just to explain it, like, the whole Bible in one summary is literally love God and love people.
Yeah.
So if you can carry that sentence and that thought into a situation and say, I expect to love people today, or I have hope that I will love people today, compared to before, you have no thoughts of that. What do you think the people around you are going to react to? What do you think their reaction is going to be of you saying, I'm going to love these people, or having no thought about it? Okay, exactly. And that's why it works. And it never changes. And it's constant because Jesus Christ already died on the cross for our sins. And that hope is, that's how you obtain that hope in that. It's not just like you wake up and say one prayer and boom, you're good. You have to constantly think like, hey, this man died on that cross for my sins. And now I am able to love others better because of the example that he showed me.
Yes.
Through this word.
And it doesn't really matter what happens to me.
It doesn't, you know, because the hope is in the eternity.
Exactly.
The hope is in the thing that you can't see, control, think of anyway.
For me to live as Christ is to die as gain, is what Paul said. Like, he basically was saying in that moment, like, if I live, I'm going to live for Christ. But if I die, it's honestly better for me. It's honestly better for me. And that's a crazy perspective that this world is like, what are you talking about? Like, but yeah, if I die, it's actually, I'm in a better situation if I die.
Yeah.
So that gives us hope.
And if you can't grasp that, like, literally comment on here. You guys can reach out to us anytime about that. But regardless of where you find your hope, the hope is a desired outcome. And that desired outcome that you're looking for, it needs to be big. And it needs to be something that you believe in. Because then if it's big, then if you fall short, you're still going to have something amazing.
Absolutely.
And if you don't believe in it, you're never going to pick up your boot. You're never going to put the shoes on and start walking.
Exactly. You're never going to put that first step down because it's just one step after the other. That's what you got to realize. It's like it's one step after the other. And something I want to say here that just came to mind is a couple weeks ago, Dennis came into town.
Dennis is an intern that we have. Yes.
He's a great guy.
He lives in Texas.
Lives in Texas, and he's done a couple internships with us. And he came in for a spring break. He was like, man, can I come intern with y'all? And I was like, absolutely. So he comes into town. We go door knocking because we're in the process of kind of starting this new little venture. But we go door knocking to try out the market. We print material. We go out. And this kid's story is so fascinating to me because he was in Ukraine in boarding school. At the age of 15, he was adopted. He was in boarding school for roughly 7 years in Ukraine. Both of his parents passed away when he was 8 years old. And his story, I'd love to get him on here one day so y'all can hear his whole story. But essentially, he was to the point where he was living in an apartment complex by himself almost at like 7, 8. And people in the apartment complex were just feeding him. Like, super sad situation. He goes to boarding school. At the age of 15, he's adopted. And me and him are, you know, he was adopted by our pastor's sister and husband and goes to Texas A&M and is living an amazing life. But we were walking around talking last week. When you go door knocking with people and you walk around neighborhoods, you get time to talk, you know. And we're talking. I'm like, man, what would you be doing right now if you were in Ukraine and didn't get adopted? And he's like, I'd probably be dead. And he kind of laughed. If you knew his personality, he kind of laughed. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, in Ukraine, when you turn 18, you have to go into the military and you have to serve 2 years. And I would have been serving when Russia attacked Ukraine.
Wow.
And this kid had so much hope. He had so much joy. And he doesn't even, you know, really know what we're selling, but it didn't matter if somebody told him, no, get lost. He just had joy. He had a smile on his face.
Yeah.
And when you realize that this kid literally got a second chance at life, he's the most happy kid that I've ever been around. Like, his personality is just... It's so encouraging and it's so inspiring and it's also contagious. Like when you're around him, you just are happy. And I kind of had this awakening that like his reality would have been so much different if he didn't get adopted. So, man, I would have joy too. But it just made me like, wow, I should have so much joy and gratitude. Just the fact that I live in this country and that war isn't a reality for me, and that death isn't something that we see each day. Like most of us in this country, we live such a glorious life, and at the same time, we think our life sucks. So I think living and getting to be around him for that week and understanding that, dude, this guy literally would be in war right now if God didn't provide this family to adopt him, it just kind of set my thinking differently and made me like be so thankful for the life that I live. So I think you can really use gratitude and all these things to help that hope stay where it needs to be.
That's a tool. Like now you can gain hope off Dennis's story.
Exactly.
That's why I tell our guys, man, exactly. We got to get our skills up. You got to get your skill up. I told you, hope is a practice. Having mental fortitude is a practice and a habit. If you don't have your own hope, go listen to somebody's story. Get on YouTube. Read a book. Watch a TV show. Do something that is, you know, how did LeBron James get in the NBA at 18? How did Tom Brady win 6 Super Bowls if you're a sports guy? Or figure out how did Ben Franklin do his thing or whatever. You know, just go read someone else's story and you can gain hope off of that. And that is gaining a skill. I just want to emphasize that if you can do that, you are skilled. You have a skill because some people, man, they can't. They go down and they can't get back up. So keep hoping, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in again, and we'll see y'all next week.